She came in, and the census, and the angels, and the shepherds, and the manger, and the swaddling clothes, and all that. But in the book of John, we learn a little bit more. We get a little deeper into what it all means. And so today we're going to begin by focusing on Jesus as our Creator. So that's the title of the message this day, is Jesus is our Creator. And we're going to be in John chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. And I think they're going to bless you this morning. It is a very Jesus-centered message. Very Jesus-centered set of verses. And if you want to know more about Christ, here you go. All right? So starting there in verse 1, reading through verse 5, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for this special time that we have. We thank You for this special season that You've allowed us as a nation to celebrate. And although there are many people that get it wrong, we are very thankful for this time. We're thankful that we have a time where we can boldly declare that we celebrate Christmas because Jesus was born. Because God became flesh. And so God, I pray that today this will be more than just a message, God. It'll be an anthem for our lives. It'll be something, God, that we speak to those around us as we speak life to them through the gospel. That life, God, that we have received from Your Son. And so we pray, God, that today we will use these things and that we will see great fruit from it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I put an outline. Did everybody get an outline? Anybody get an outline to follow? Just okay. It was in the back when you came in. It's my fault because I don't normally do it. Aiden and Ethan, in the back, there's an outline for my sermon. Pass it out to everybody. You can help. Go help them. Right there. Whoa, right there. Come back. Right here on the little stand. Boop, right here. Come here. Hey, the stand. It's like little sheep. Yeah, if y'all would have been here this morning, though. All right, there you go. Pass them out. Give everybody one. This is for you guys. If you want to take notes, just to kind of follow on, so you can remember where we've been. And for those of you that are a little hot, it's going to cool off in a minute. We had not turned the air on this morning because it was chilly when we came in, but I think it'll cool off in a minute for most of you. Right, so be looking for those when y'all come in from now on, especially through the month of December. I'll try to make sure I have them. All right, go sit down. I got it. Okay. Okay. All right, that's not an opportunity for y'all to be silly now. Y'all sit down and relax. Okay. All right, now that that's out of the way, we're in John 1. John 1, title of the message is Jesus is our Creator. And so the question today is, what is Christmas about? And Christmas is about telling the world some very important things. It is to let the world know who their God is, who made them, to tell them about eternal life, and to remind the world that there is darkness, a darkness that we have all been a part of, but there is a light that will outshine the darkness. Christmas is a declaration to the world that all of these massively important matters are all answered in Jesus Christ. They're all answered in Him. This is what makes Christmas such a huge time of the year. And I am not opposed to present giving or hanging out with family and things like that. Those are great things to do. But please don't miss that Christmas is a time to declare to the world who we believe in. It's a natural time to declare it. It's an easy time to declare it. You have a ready-made introduction, icebreaker, into a conversation about the gospel during the time of Christmas. I want you to see also that John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 are very practical for us today because they really get to the heart of who we are as a people. It digs down deep into the important matters in the lives of people. Every year, people lose their way. They battle with sadness. They battle with self-worth. They battle with addictions, with identity. People don't know who they are at times. People battle with dysfunctional families. Anybody got one of those? All right? Or someone, maybe you are the dysfunctional one in your family, and that's okay. They don't function right. People lack hope. People are looking for answers in things that never satisfy. And this is intensified. It is exacerbated during the Christmas season. And we as believers, if you are one today, have a ready-made answer in Jesus Christ. I believe these five verses are an answer for those things, because knowing Jesus, truly knowing who Jesus is the remedy for our troubles. Now I say they are an answer instead of the answer, just because there are other places in the Bible where it's going to give us more stuff. But don't mistake me as saying there is an answer outside of Jesus Christ, because there isn't. There isn't an answer. He is the answer. And these verses are part of the answer that is Christ. So I want you to see that. Today I want our focus of our attention to be on the reality that Jesus is our Creator. He is more than a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, placed in a manger. He is more than the first six letters in the word Christmas. He is our Creator. And I would like to look at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 in light of Jesus as Creator. And our outline today will go like this. We will follow the text very closely. We will see, first of all, that Jesus is Creator God. We will see that Jesus is Maker of all things, and that will be our main focus today. We will see that Jesus is the source of life, and we will see that Jesus is the origin of light. And then one more thing, these four points are fundamental to who Jesus is. If you get any of them wrong, you don't get Jesus. You don't get who He is. These are truths that one must believe to receive Jesus Christ. And when you hear the Scripture say something like this in John chapter 1, verse 12, "But to all who did receive Him," and then He explains it, "who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." Very good. He gave the right to become children of God. You see, we must believe on Jesus as He truly is, and this is so massively important. And when you hear "believe on His name," I want you to hear, when you hear that, it means believe on who He really is. That gets to the heart. It means more, but it gets to the heart of what it means there. All right? And you can't just make Jesus be who you want Him to be. That's not believing on the name of Jesus. That's believing on something that you named Jesus. You see the difference? That's believing on something that you named Jesus instead of believing on the name of Jesus. And who He is important to who He is. And I emphasize this because John writes the book so that you would know Jesus. In John chapter 20, verse 31, he says, "These are written." He said, I could have wrote a lot more stuff. That could have just filled libraries up with the stuff about Jesus. "But these things that I've written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." So that's the point of the whole book. And I would say that's certainly the point of the first five verses. So starting with point number one, we see that Jesus is Creator God. Now we could spend a lot of time here, but we just don't have it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now there are three things that you see right here in verse 1 after you realize that the Word is in reference to Jesus. Now how do you know that the Word is in reference to Jesus as well? In John chapter 1 verse 14, just a few verses later, he will say, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And then the whole book of John is about Jesus. So I think it's pretty clear. We all know that the Word is in reference to Jesus. So we see, after noticing that, there are three things we see. We see that Jesus was in the beginning. We see that he was with God. And we see that he was God. And I want us to focus briefly on that one big thing, that Jesus is God. The world and the powers behind it want nothing more than for you to get that wrong. There's a church right down here on the left, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and that they don't believe that Jesus is God. It's a false religion. They took a Bible, they changed the translation, all right, so that it wouldn't look like it says what it says here in John 1. It's a terrible translation. They twisted the Word of God. There are so many people that don't want you to believe that Jesus truly is God. They are fine. Believe that he's a great man. They're fine with that. They believe that he had great teachings. But don't believe that he is God. Let's not believe that. Let's not believe that he became a man to come and die on a cross for us. Don't believe those things. Now logically, the scriptures explain this to us straightforwardly. It's very clear in the scriptures. Now not that everybody trusts them or believes them, but I think that the evidence is overwhelming that the Bible is to be trusted, that it is truly God-breathed. In so many places, Jesus is referred to as God directly or indirectly. But logic will only get us so far without the help of the Holy Spirit, because the darkness spoken of in verse 5 wants to hide this truth from us. But the truth is, Jesus is God much more than a great man with great teachings. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, the author of Hebrews gives us a really great statement about Christ and who he is, the nature of Jesus. He says, "He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature." And I just want to look at that verse for a second. What is the radiance of something? The radiance is the shining forth of something. Or as one definition puts it in a word that I didn't know until I looked it up, the effulgence of something. All right? It's meaning to shine forth. So he is the radiance of the glory of God. And then it says, and the exact representation of his nature. And what is mind here is the idea that of the impression made by a stamp or a seal. Obviously, the translation is just a starting point, but Jesus is not just a reproduction of God. Rather, he is the imprint of God for all things. That's what the scriptures teach. And he is the exact representation. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 says, he is the image of the invisible God. It says he is the exact representation of his nature. That word nature is hypostasis in the Greek, and it means the substantial quality nature of a person or thing. Jesus is the actual existence of God. I want you to see that's what the scriptures say. Now, whether you believe that or not is in your court. But what the scriptures teach is that he is indeed the actual existence of God. Jesus said of himself, and again, I could go on and on and on and on about what the Bible says, but the Holy Spirit's going to have to confirm these things to you. Jesus said of himself in John chapter 12, verse 45, He who sees me sees the one who sent me. Matter of fact, he got in a whole lot of trouble one time, but because he referred to the Father as his Father. And they were mad because essentially by saying what he said, he was saying he was equal with God. Now, that probably doesn't resonate in our minds, but to the Jewish people of the day, that's what they heard. We may think, he's just his Father. We get that. We get that. We can still say, oh, he's our Father, but we're different than him. We're created from him. But that's not what the people heard when he said it. And that was not Jesus' intention. His intention was to let them know he is equal with the Father. He is. In John chapter 14, verse 9, Philip wanted to see the Father. Oh, Jesus, if you would just show me the Father, that would be enough for us. How did Jesus respond? You all know this. I've shared this 1,000 times, right? He says, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? He goes on to say, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Finally, why else do we see that the Bible starts out like this? Why do we see in Genesis God referring to himself with a plural pronoun? Such an interesting passage of Scripture written before Jesus even came. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Our is a plural pronoun, right? Describing more than one person. And from the rest of Scripture, starting in Genesis chapter 1, all the way to the end of the book of Revelation, that whole our, us, is explained to be the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. You don't have to fully comprehend it to believe it. I think, what was his name? One of those big theologians from the past said that believing it will make you something along the lines of lose your mind, right? Or trying to figure it out will make you lose your mind. That's what it was. Figuring it out will make you lose your mind, but not believing it will have you lose your soul. So Jesus is God, and he must be believed on as such, or you're believing in something else. Also, number two, today we see that Jesus is the maker of all things. And this is what I want us to put most of our time into today. Verse 3, it says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, I don't know if you noticed that, and I'll probably emphasize it at the end of this point again. He says the same thing twice. He just wants to make sure us dense people get it. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, that's for the people that want to twist the Scripture. This is the verse that I would use with a person who say, the Bible doesn't teach that Jesus is the creator of all things. He's the creator of all things except for himself. That he was created. He was created. He had to have been created. He had to. But in reality, the Scripture says it, and John wants to be clear. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So if it's in the category of being made, it was made by him. Therefore, everything outside of that would have to exist without being made. Therefore, Jesus could never have been created. Now, I want to share a couple of scriptures with you. Number one, I want you to see that the Scriptures teach that only God is creator. And then I want you to see that Jesus is God. Psalm 33, verse 6, only God is creator. I'll share it with you in just a second. Only God is creator of something out of nothing. Because I want to clarify what I mean by creator. You can create some things, but you can't create something out of nothing. It says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. And then in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, it says, in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He created the world through Christ. And what all did He make? The word for all in the Greek is pas. All right? P-A-S, or Pi Alpha Sigma. All right? And it literally means, if you get down and you dig down real deep into the real meaning of the word pas, it means all. It means everything. So you don't have to dig very far to figure out that all means all. Everything that was created. The point should humble us today that He made everything. This word made means to come into being, to happen, to become. The NASB translates this verse, all things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. The ability to create belongs to God alone. Therefore, it belongs to Christ alone. Simply by speaking, God spoke and it was. Jesus is the Word of Almighty God. He is the creator also of more than what we see. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, where it says, and through Him, He also created the world. That word, world, is we usually, the common word for world in the Greek New Testament is cosmos, right? Which would mean universe. But this word is aionos, which means ages. So He didn't just create the things that we see. He created time. He created the ages. He created more than what we can understand. Time and energy and space along with matter have been made through Jesus Christ. Consider the vastness of our universe. If you could somehow put 1.2 million Earths inside the sun, you would have room left for 4.3 million moons. Is that big? I mean, just think about that. 1.2 million Earths inside the Earth, you could still stuff 4.3 million moons. Because you got to have some moons, right? If you're going to put Earths up inside the sun. It'd be crazy to put the Earths in there without the moons. It'd be a nutty thing to do. That's huge. The sun is 865,000 miles in diameter and is 93 million miles from the Earth. Our next nearest star, Alpha Centauri, is 5 times larger than our sun. 5 times larger. The North Star that we can see when you look at the sky at night is 400 trillion miles away. But it is still very close to us in relation to what we know of in regards to the universe's size. The star Betelgeuse is 880, I think that's how you say it, is that right? 880 quadrillion miles away, that's 880 followed by 15 zeros, all right, away from us. It has a diameter of 250 million miles, which is greater than that of the Earth's orbit, right? So you think of the orbit that the Earth goes around, and there's a star bigger than that orbit. It's massive, right? The Milky Way contains billions of stars. 2,500 years is what it would take to count them 1 second at a time. Right? One. There are billions of galaxies outside of the Milky Way that we know of, only that we know of. And He created all of it. He created every bit of it. And why is the universe so big? It's a big question, right? Why is it so big? Scientists and armchair scientists believe it is that so maybe there could be other inhabitable planets. So we can have some aliens with big eyes. And hey, you can believe in them. Is it all right for me to say that you believe in them, Abe? It's not all right. I shouldn't have said that. All right? It's all right, even in my own home, we have a difference of opinion between my very smart 10-year-old and not-so-smart 29-year-old dad. You can believe in aliens. I think it's funny and it doesn't make sense to me personally, biblically, but you can believe in them, and it's not a big deal if you believe them in them, and I'll laugh at you until I get abducted, all right? And at that point, it won't be so funny, but the universe is so big. The universe is so big for a reason, and it is to show us how great God is, how great our Creator Jesus is. In the book of Psalm, chapter 19, verses 1 through 4, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the earth. In them He has set a tent for the sun." We see that God created the universe to be a declaration of how awesome He is. And it speaks every day and every night. And if you want it to, there's an app you can download on your phone. It's a neat, what's it called? Skyview, that's right. Where you can take it. It's fascinating, right? Like I saw this orange-looking star up in the sky, and I wasn't sure which one it was, and I downloaded it when I was at the beach this year, and I looked up, and it was Mars. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, wherever you take it and you point, it'll show you whatever constellation, where the moon is, it's amazing. But it'll help you see the amazing creative ability that God has. He created these things. Now, the problem is that this world doesn't want us to believe that. This world wants us to believe that everything came from nothing. We're here by accidental chance. There's a whole section of Scripture that speaks to this line of thinking in chapter 1 of Romans. And I want to share it with you. It's about 4 verses. Listen to what Paul says. He says, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them." Now keep in mind, the speaking of the universe, the declaration of the universe, declaring the handiwork of God. It says, "For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they become fools and exchange the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. This is how the darkness of evil is spread by Satan. He blinds the hearts and minds of men. Men ignore the fact that He even exists, and they try to push Him away. We say, see, there's a difference between Christians and those who believe in the fact that we came here by chance. They would say that nothing became matter and became alive. And we would say that something created everything from nothing. And the application is obvious. It's that you would know who He is. That you would bow down and prostrate yourself before Him in reverence for what He's done. That you know His greatness. That you submit to Him as Creator. See, John is making a point, and he uses reiteration there at the beginning. He says, all things were made through Him. And just in case you didn't get it, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Thirdly, we see that Jesus is also the source of life. It says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And so we see that this is true in two ways. Number one, we see He's the source of all life. It says, in Him was life, and I think that is neat. That we can trace the beginning of all life back to Jesus Christ. Not a swirling cesspool a billion years ago, right, that was being rained on over and over. And I'm sorry if I offend anyone that believes in that, but Jesus is the source of life, not random chemicals. That's what the Scriptures teach. He's the source of life. The life that is in the grass and in all the plants that has been given by, it has been given by Christ. The life that's in your dog or in your cat has been given by Christ. The life that are with insects given by Christ. The life that's within you is given by Jesus Christ. The life that's been given to your children has been given by Jesus. He is the source of all life. From all life, right, all things come into being from the source of life. Not from nothing. And in reality, that really makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? You know, I'm not, at least I hope I'm not, some check your brains at the door Baptist preacher that ignores science. Ever since I was a young child, I was fascinated with science and studied it and spent a lot of time digging into it, looked into philosophy. And in all reality, it takes faith to believe either one, that we came from nothing or that we came from God. The philosophers used to call it the uncaused cause. That something caused this, that was caused by something else, it was caused by something else, it was caused by something else. And somewhere down the line, there had to be an original. Had to be. It makes logical sense. The question is there something intelligent? Or is there something random? Chance. That's you chew on that. You think on that. Jesus, the scriptures say, is the source of life. Life flows from Jesus, and from God comes all life. It is His to give. He is also the source of all spiritual life. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, it says, "This is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." Eternal life is more than just life on this earth. All men have been granted some portion of life, but not all men have been granted eternal life. In John chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus says, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Jesus tells us plainly that He is the giver of eternal life. And when He gives life, it never ends. That's what the word eternal means. And no one can take it away. This is a beautiful gift from our God, the gift of life. Every time you breathe, or you know that your heart's beating because you maybe had to run five steps or walk up some stairs and you're breathing heavy, you remember that you just had a gift from Almighty God. And if you've never received this eternal life, it is offered to you freely today. Just come to Christ. Come to Jesus. The scriptures say repent. Place your faith in His name. And then finally, we see that Jesus is the origin of light. And this is important because there's a darkness covering the world. It says the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. Verse 4 ends with, "And the life was the light of men." So this life, this origin of life, is also the light of men. All light comes from Christ. Now I think He's referring not just to the light we see, but rather light for your spirit. But it is easier to understand what He means by light by reading the verse, right? The light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. We see that this darkness is contrasted with light. It helps us understand the context of what He means by light here. Because we might say, oh, well, He means the things that we see instead of a spiritual thing. And you can tell by the use of darkness here, He's talking about a spiritual darkness. Darkness is what has come over man so that his God-given desires have given way to lust and rebellion and have turned God-given desires on its head. And in the beginning, we see that it all started when Adam and Eve rebelled against God. And that passed down to all people. And we have knowingly and willingly rebelled against God. Mankind fell, and from that point on, the scriptures say, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Now, let's let the light that we see with our eyes illustrate the spiritual light that comes from Christ. The light we see with our eyes radiates throughout the universe. The universe is filled with dark places, dark matter. I don't know where it comes from, but they know it's there. But light breaks through so that you can see what was previously unseen. Without light, we would have never discovered any of the planets that we see, any of the stars that we've noticed, any of the rocks that are out there. You wouldn't know what was around you. You wouldn't know what your partner's face looked like without light. Light breaks through so that what was unseen can now be seen. And on earth, the sun brings to light and radiates our world so that we can see well. That's what light does. In the same way, the light from Jesus comes to man and it illuminates the darkness of our soul. In John chapter 12, verse 46, Jesus says this. He says, I've come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. Spiritual light has shined into the darkness of our souls. The light comes in and we can now see that the filth needs to be cleaned, needs to be removed. You ever paid attention to what cockroaches are like? Yeah, okay, real cockroaches, not just the beetle ones. See, cockroaches hate the light, don't they? All right? You flip on a light, you uncover where they are, what do? They scatter. They try to run away from the light. And that's what people are like, that they just don't want to hear what God has to say. They would rather hide from it. Now, I'm not calling all people that don't believe in Christ cockroaches. I'm just saying there's a similar pattern here for us, that when we run from the light, we are following the same pattern of a cockroach. Right? So Christ shines the light, and the question is, will we run to it or run away from it? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. And the reason that we need the light, because as non-Christians out there, if you're a non-Christian, you currently live with darkness over you. You don't know Christ. You're blind to the fact that you've sinned against God and that you need His forgiveness. And you cannot clearly see where you're headed. And if you're a Christian, you need God's light just as much. You need God's light to keep growing, right? How many plants out there grow without the aid of the light of the sun? None of them. Right? We have to have light. And Christ, His light will illuminate us and help us to grow. So the invitation today is, one, I want you to know that God wants you to know Him if you don't know Him, and He wants you to grow in Him if you do. Jesus is Creator God. He is the Maker of all things. He is the source of life, and He is the origin of light. And we need all of them, and He stands ready for you. He wants you to come to Him. He does. Jesus longs to see people come to Him. He came to this earth for us for a reason. And so if you've been running from God for a while, know that His arms are outstretched for you. And that at any point that you would humble yourselves, He will receive you readily. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this day. We're thankful for the message that you have given us through your word. And oh God, we pray for understanding and for the conviction of your Spirit. Oh God, do these great things for us.